All right, this is Morgoth here from Monday Night Metal. I'm speaking with Ben, lead singer of Goat Whore. How you doing, man?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good.
Great. Well, thanks for talking with us. First off, how has the tour been going so far?
So far, it's been really good. Really fucking good, man.
Great.
I think it's a really good lineup, too. A lot of really good bands. You know, Warbringer, they're younger guys, but they're doing a fucking amazing job at, you know, rekindling that big thrash metal.
Great to see that coming back these days.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And, you know, you have the Berserker, who haven't been here in, like 8 years or something from Australia. So that's always good. And Christine as well.
This is my first time seeing them, so.
Then you have, you know, Obituary legend, like death metal legend. So. It's awesome. It's awesome.
Sweet. You guys just recently released your fourth studio album, Carving Out the Eyes of God.
Yes.
How was the recording process with that? Was it easy going? Or
actually, it was pretty easy going, man. I mean, well, studio is always kind of like a stressful kind of thing. You know, it's got its moments. But a lot of things went really smooth this time. And I think it helps, too, because, you know, we've built a relationship with Rutan, and we kind of get along and work really well. So it's like when you go into the studio, it's somebody you're familiar with, and it's not like this stranger you've walked in and this guy's gonna be at the helm and want to change things that you do or anything like that. So Rutan knows what kind of direction we want to go in, but at the same time, he's a stern person, you know, and he wants to make sure you do a really good job. So, but you can butt heads with him, you know, because once you know somebody, you know, and you get along, you can kind of speak out a little more about things, you know, and you can go back and forth. But he's really an open guy, so he'll try different things, you know, things that he's never done before, because it might open up some ideas for him as well. So the process went pretty smooth and everything went well, you know, in the time period. They were like there for a month.
Cool.
And but everything worked out really well. Like on A Haunting Curse, we had some issues with gear and things like that. You know, it's sometimes it's just unpredictable stuff. It goes down, but everything ran pretty smooth this time.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
So has the reception been pretty good for the album so far?
Yeah, it's been really good, man. We toured back, I think that was April, we were out with the Monomarth.
Yeah, I saw you guys.
And we started playing some new stuff on that just to kind of get it going before the record came out. And we've just been getting a lot of good feedback. And even when we started touring, when the new record hit, a lot of bands don't like to throw too much new stuff. But we were like throwing 6 new songs into a set, you know? So, and it was, we were getting really good feedback from it, so we just kept rolling with it.
Yeah, that's always good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I figure it might be a little bit scary when that new album comes out.
Yeah, yeah, because you have the people, like, they got their favorites that they like to hear, you know, and they get picky, but, you know, we're really comfortable in everything with this record and how it came out. We're all really happy with it. So it's just like, we're just going head on with it, you know. And we have different set times, you know, like when we do a tour like this, sometimes we got either 30 or 45 minutes. Or if we come through in headline, we have like an hour. So depending on when you see us, we'll have a variation of songs. Or like tonight, we played like 6 new songs and then 2 older songs. You know, some of the other people might want to hear the older stuff, but we're so focused on the new stuff right now and trying to push that idea. We're working on a little brainwash scheme here.
I like it. Cool. So you guys are touring with Obituary, like we said earlier, legends of death metal. Is there any band in particular that you've always, if you could tour with any band,
to be honest with you, we've kind of covered a lot of terrain. You know, ever since we released A Haunting Curse, we toured with Celtic Frost, who's like the biggest influence of this band ever. You know, they're just like the main reason. If there was no Celtic Frost, there probably would be no Goat Whore.
Yeah, exactly. Basically.
And then, you know, bands like, we toured with Venom, and that's a band that's a huge influence on us. We did shows with Emperor, you know, we toured with Obituary now, we toured with Exodus. I think the only terrain we could really cover at this point is like if we were toured with Slayer or something like that. We'd be like, we would have covered all the legendary stuff from when we were kids, pretty much.
Did you guys just miss a chance to get on that that big Mayhem Festival tour?
Yeah, just, you know, there's a lot of politics and everything in the industry, so it's hard. And there's a lot of bands, too, you know, and there's a lot of really good bands that do way better than us, and they definitely have been more of a foot into position to get on that kind of tour. So, I mean, who knows? Maybe eventually some tour will pop up. Maybe Slayer will be interested and think about Goat Whore, or, you know, who knows? But it would complete the cycle, I guess, you know, of touring with bands that were like really big influences, and bands that definitely when we were younger we'd never think of that we would get to tour with them.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Got just a couple more questions. I heard you mention on stage, but this is something that I just like to ask every musician I interview. What is your stance on music piracy today? And
I don't really mind it, man, to tell you the truth. It's just, I mean, it's funny because it really, you always hear the bigger bands talk about it, and it's like they're the ones it really doesn't hardly affect. It's bands on our level. It's the smaller bands that are in the vans and trailers on tour that get hit the worst with it. And it seems like those bands want it a little more and let people, they're just kind of lax about people doing it because it helps their music. It helps people know what's going on with them, and it helps them grow, you know? The only thing I think, though, is that if people do it, at least if they come to the show, and it's not just us, any band, you know, that they do it, this like pirate music or whatever from, is at least buy a shirt, you know, or something, or give them a couple of dollars for gas or something, you know? So that way you're helping the support of them on what they're doing, since you basically got the whole record for free, you know? But I've done it a couple of times, you know? We've all kind of done it at one point or another, you know? But sometimes people do it because they really like a band, and then they end up, you know, they buy the record because they want the actual real thing in their hands or whatever, buy it from iTunes and have the complete download or something like that.
Have you guys been releasing any of your albums on vinyl recently?
No, we haven't done that since the Eclipse of Ages. We've been wanting to, but like, I don't think Metal Blade's really interested in it, you know?
Yeah.
We've kind of talked about possibly doing it ourselves.
Yeah, I know that some bands go to those independent companies for getting the
vinyls.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes it's hard, too, because Metal Blade is just on a level, too, where they want, if we wanted to put it on record and another little company wanted to come in and do it, there's too much legalities and bullshit like that to deal with. So it'd have to be something that kind of works out right. I guess maybe something between us and Metal Blade, and we worked it out properly or something like that. I love vinyl, so it'd be awesome. I love the fact, and especially with like the last two records, it's the layouts would be amazing on some kind of vinyl layout.
Yeah, definitely in the black metal sort of root.
Definitely.
The vinyl sound.
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely. Another question is, while you're on the road, what do you like to listen to? What's in your rotation?
Right, a little bit of everything, actually. To be honest with you, there's some days I'll go days without listening to anything because you'll be at these, you know, there's five bands on the tour and, you know, and these days get long and you hear it, and sometimes you just want either quiet or you just want something laid back, something, I don't know, like today we were listening to Lynyrd Skynyrd, but then I'll turn around and put some old Judas Priest on. You know, listen to some early Exodus. What else did I have on today? I had No Cathedral, End Time. So, you know, we got a lot of varying different things that go on in there. You know, sometimes, depending on the mode, depending on if we're driving or not, you know, that's kind of the shift in the music as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like to really put something too ambient and kind of soundscape is if I'm driving in the middle of the night.
Sure. Something to keep you up.
Something that kind of has a little energy, a little gusto. I've been like heavily like Judas Priest and Maiden lately, though.
Yeah.
For some reason, I just kind of went back. I just saw Judas Priest on the British, that they redid the British Steel tour or whatever.
Yeah, so I've heard.
Yeah, and so it was amazing, man. It was amazing. I felt like young as hell.
They play any songs off Painkiller?
Yeah, they did, actually. Nice. They played Hell Patrol.
Awesome.
So, but they played the whole British Steel record.
Oh, really?
And then they played a bunch of like other hits and things like that. So it was. They're still. It's amazing at the age they are, and they still fucking rip it up, man.
You see Goat Whore doing that, and 20 years down the road.
That's tough to say right now. There's something more about bands from that era, though, too. You know,
absolutely.
Like the Iron Maidens and you know, Metallica's and Slayer's and. Judas Priest, you know, things like that. There's something more about the longevity of those bands compared to bands today with like a longevity. You haven't seen it really yet, like it was with those kind of bands. But I mean, we're still, you know, younger, I guess. I mean,
yeah, I'm pretty.
Judas Priest is like some of those guys are like hitting 60, so it's like wow, you know. Now, if you look and you see how far back they've been doing it, you know, 30 years. It's like because they got so many bands out today that. They might be huge now, but in 30 years, they might just be forgotten about.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that's all I got for you, man. Thanks a lot for talking with me.
No problem, man. Thank you for your time as well, man.
Thanks a lot, man.
No problem.